it's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Jacinda. How are you?
Oh, kia ora, I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Didn't you do a great job when you were over there in the United States of America?
Oh, thanks.
I thought you did. You were fantastic. There we are. That's me
thank
sucking
you.
Up.
Flying the flag.
Yeah, but a lot. I had a pretty plump itinerary for a recent mum and a busy leader.
It was a busy time. But if you're going to go all that way, you might as well make the most of it. And we had, I think, one of the highest numbers of world leaders turn out for that one as well. So I think that was a bit of a show of faith in multilateralism, for what it's worth.
One of the things that you specified in quite a lot of detail when you got to speak in the United Nations, which is pretty cool, and that stand up there in that amazing sort of almost looks like a superhero setup, you talked about the state of the Pacific as far as in regards to global warming and climate change. This is something that's even only as far back as the Trump electoral campaign. There's still a large amount of the population, just in the United States, where you were anyway, saying that the whole thing was made up or was some sort of like a concocted carry on. But we've reached a point now when the IPCC report came out yesterday saying that if we don't pull our socks up and do something rapidly, we're in some serious trouble. But we knew that. We knew that, didn't we?
We did, but you know what, I take a little bit of heart in the fact that I even feel like in the last 10 years there's been a significant change in the amount of scepticism that we've moved really, I think, beyond questioning climate change now to just having the debate about how far and how fast we all need to move. So I at least feel positive about that. I feel positive that the Secretary General said that this is the absolute priority of the UN and it should be for all of us. And I feel positive that, you know, what the IPCC has called on all of us to do is actually what we in New Zealand are already doing. They've said we need a net zero carbon emissions by 2050. We need to set our goals around 1.5 degrees. We're doing that. And the rest, though...
I thought we had 12 years. They had 12 years to get into gear.
Yeah, so you know, we're putting through our zero carbon legislation at the moment. James Shaw doing huge work on that. We're working really hard as well to get cross-party support for it, because that's the thing. I mean, we have these short timeframes now where we need to act and lock in what we do. We can't afford to have electoral cycles interrupt our plans. And so that's why trying to get everyone on board is so important.
It's almost at that stage too where... all the stuff that we're doing, we can congratulate ourselves, but we almost have to do twice as much again. We almost have to push ourselves as feasibly as far as we can, you know, and every other country should be doing the same.
Yeah, and look, we will do, Albert. We represent roughly, you know, 0.17-ish% of global emissions, so we will do, Albert. Albert also has the ability to help others. Our emissions profile is really interesting. Roughly half of it's agricultural emissions. Very few countries have a profile like ours, but many eventually will. Once you start grabbing the low-hanging fruit around changing your energy generation profile and your transport profile, then other countries will go, hang on, what are we going to do about agriculture and food production? So we've got a chance here to really lead the pack on research and development, and that's what I aspire for us to do.
So that's where our largest percentage of the issue comes from. What's the thing that's standing in the way of us doing this more rapidly than we've already been attending to it?
Well, you know, actually, I'd like to think that the only barriers really are the technology and the science.
So it's not people and it's not business and it's not lobbying. It's not.
You know what? I really actually have to say from the farming, I have a farming leadership group that I work alongside. They're our food producers in New Zealand, and they really share a lot of our ambition in this area. But it's going to come down to individual activity. So we've shared these goals. Well, now how does that change the way our farming practice? How does it change the way we use feed and the way we graze? Because all of that, research is starting to show us, makes a difference. So, yes, we can set out some some practices and some tools, then we'll need to implement them.
Right. Everybody needs to.
Everybody.
At pace. Hey, you said something this week which I thought was quite... which was very interesting. You used a very casual phrase, and you're not one to use a casual phrase in grown-up speak.
I know what word it is.
Fleeced. Yes.
It just came out. I feel.
You said that petrol consumers are being fleeced at the pump.
I feel really strongly about this. Like,
obviously, this is what I'm saying.
Well, this morning, you know.
So do I.
I drove past. There's two stations near my home that I always keep an eye on. I drove past one this morning. It is 10 cents cheaper in Mount Albert to buy fuel than it is in Wellington. 10 cents cheaper. So I know there's been a spotlight on excise. I absolutely accept that. But given what the government has done in Auckland, you would have thought Aucklanders would be paying more, but they're not.
It's crazy, isn't it?
10 cents cheaper. So that tells you something else that's going on. I got a breakdown of some of the figures recently. In the last year, there's been a 39 cent increase and fuel prices. 6.8 cents of that at that time was put down to excise. So something much bigger is going on, and that's what I want to get to the bottom of.
And when you've got a product which is so heavily taxed by the government, so you would think that you would have pretty good transparency as to what's going on with that product. But here we are, you're having to announce that you're going to put together you're going to implement something, which means we will finally be able to see what's going on. Which means that product's been very, very well protected by the people that are selling it, which is weird, and that starts to get a bit stinky.
Well, last year, the last government tried to have a bit of a look, and the report in 2017 came back and said we cannot guarantee that consumers are paying a reasonable price. And their assumption was that they probably weren't.
That simply won't do.
Yeah, and part of it was that fuel companies didn't cooperate. So we're changing the law so that the Commerce Commission can undertake these things called market studies. We're going to change the law in the next 2 weeks. Then there'll be a bit of a month-long process where the minister has to go out and seek nominations for reports, and I'll be nominating the fuel industry. So we'll move pretty quickly.
Chuck the banks in there as well while you're there. How's the fuel industry taking this?
You would have
all
seen
all smiles. I bet it's all smiles. I bet it's all smiles.
You would have seen some of the comments, but none of it for me answers why we used to be kind of middle of the pack in the OECD for our pre-tax fuel price, and now we are the highest in the OECD.
No one
has satisfied that for me, and so that's why I think we need to do this.
Wonderful news for the government. Hey, did you know about this $5.5 billion? Dollars cash, New Zealand cash surplus that you're going to have, or is this just come from good management and a pleasant surprise?
Yeah, well, some of it, of course, we can see, you know, the way things are tracking in the spends and underspends of departments and so on. So some of it is simply expenses that that will be taken up in the new year. We have to account for that.
It doesn't mean the whole country can go on a bender for three years, doesn't it?
No. And some of it is through extra GST, corporate tax take, and so on. But these are, you know, keeping in mind, these are, whenever we go to spend anything, take what we use for excise to go into our roading system, for instance, because that's exactly where that goes. You know, that's cumulative. 200 becomes 400 becomes 600 million over 3 years.
Sure.
This is a snapshot in time, and it's a backward-looking snapshot. We have to look at what the forecast is looking like, and the international environment tells us that it's probably good to prepare for a rainy day. It's looking a little cloudy out there.
Dun, dun, dun. So it doesn't mean that there's going to be a sudden huge offer to the teachers or the nurses or the police?
No, I mean, it means that we, of course, have budgeted for those pay rounds, and we have, and we're prepared for them. But at the same time, we have to keep the books in good shape. You know, we do still have $57 billion of debt we're trying to get down. We came into office, it was around $60 billion. We're beavering away on that, but you know, we have to make sure that we are positively managing the books and all of the things we're facing: mycoplasma, bovis, the things that crop up along the way, we have to be well prepared for.
Is it, we seem to be at a time where the government's really starting, the fruit's really starting to pop up on the vines. A lot of announcements. Seems to be every day there's an announcement there. Things are really chugging along at a fair crack now.
Yes, and today, for instance, I'm going out to do something about payday lenders. Just keep an eye out for that. It's something that I feel quite strongly about
payday lenders?
Yeah, we've got some predatory lenders in New Zealand that really take advantage of people. So you know, we'll be...
That's because we don't pay people enough. But
there is that as well. You know, first 100 days, minimum wage went up, Mikey. And,
true. You know, what about three cheers for the Paralympians now getting funding parity?
Yeah. And as it should be, because, you know, I think when people hear that our Paralympians weren't getting as much as our Olympians, in preparation for games, you know, that probably surprises people. So we've brought equity now into the performance enhancement grant. So that basically means our Paralympians will be able to train full time.
Good job.
It's as it should be.
All right. Hey, thank you, Prime Minister. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you again in a couple.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.